We have a brother with us who is not very well known to many of you, although to me he is very well known. In fact, it was at his place that I first became acquainted with that new gadget they called radio, and learned my first word in late radio lingo, which was static. And we could even hear words and even make out whole sentences on the radio. Of course, long since then, radio has developed to something much more perfect, and we've been using it to the extent that the Lord has enabled us in spreading the truth. Well, Brother Leland Parsons was interested in the truth then and doing all he could to serve it, and he's still going strong in it. So now, as three men came from a long distance to bring treasures to our Lord when he was born, so we have one of the Lord's people who has come from a long distance to speak to us on treasures. Brother Leland Parsons.
Thank you, Brother Stewart.
I was thinking, instead of bringing treasures here, we're receiving treasures, dear brethren, and meeting with you, having this great privilege of association with new ones and old ones in the truth. I want to also bring the love of our dear brethren back home, Salem, Oregon. See, we don't have quite as many as you have here, but they're very dear. They're dear to the Lord, and they're dear to us. And I even feel kind of homesick when I think of them. They want to send their love to you. And many others, including Brother and Sister Baker, Portland, Brother and Sister Ranger, and maybe I could skip over a few. There's Seattle, Spokane, Washington, Havre, Montana, Bismarck, North Dakota, Minneapolis, Chicago, and then the little towns around Batavia and Aurora, Gary, Grand Rapids, came down up to Saginaw, Flint, Jackson, Detroit, Buffalo, and Rochester, and then the dear ones here. We are so happy for this privilege of being with the brethren, and we have been richly blessed from our contacts. Our subject of treasures, when we think of treasures, dear brethren, we think of something very dear to us. A treasure is something, if you have something that's especially dear to you, many times you want to put it away in a safe hiding place so that nothing can take it away from you. A treasure, we think of earthly treasures, of course. We have to use comparisons when we think of treasures. So, what are our treasures? What are some of our treasures? Think about these things that we can feel and see. And how do we gain them? For what purpose are they collected? What advantage is it going to be to us? Maybe just introducing a thought like that, well, because our Lord told us in Matthew 6 and 19, a very familiar text to you, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves will break through and steal. But," he says, "lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust will corrupt, and where thieves will not break through nor steal." Then he followed with, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we have to kind of guard ourselves where our treasures are, whether our treasures are for ourselves, what we'll do with them when we gain them, and whether we're going to be satisfied with them when we get them. Treasures, of course, we think of the treasures of this earth, which, if that's our goal, when we sang that song, "My Goal is Christ,"
That's my goal, and I know it's your goal. But there are goals in the world, which I would say if my goal was to collect a fortune or make a fortune this life, I'd want to work to my utmost to make it. Because then I would be success. If it was half-heartedly done, I probably would never get there. But if that's my goal, why, I want to put all my effort into it. And realize it's only, if we labored all our life and only, and saved the best we could, we never can be wealthy. It isn't that. It's many other ways of gaining wealth, of course. We might get them by inheritance or good business judgment, by investing our funds, or we could get it another way. We could get it dishonestly, which many have gained fortunes that way. But we ask this question. Now, as we are accumulating, are they for myself? It means a lot. It means whether, if they're for myself, it's going to be a great disappointment. If all of my life I'm working to accumulate something for myself, it's going to be a very disappointing experience for us. Even though many, say, have kept what they had through life, but maybe in their old age something happens, taken away from them. Various ways it can be taken from you. But if our goal is earthly treasure, Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Timothy 6:10, he says the love of money is the root of all evil. He'd probably seen plenty in his day too, and we've seen it, realizing that with money it brings power, brings temptations, things that we never think of having if we didn't have the money. Wouldn't I like to have that? Wouldn't I like to have that? If I had the money, I could get those things and with them become more selfish. And that is what our Lord is warning us against. Anything we accumulate for ourselves can be very disappointing and displeasing to the Lord. Well, why would it be different now? Paul also follows this in 2 Timothy 3:1. He says, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, and so forth. And this thought of covetousness, Jesus brings a thought to us there in Luke, the 12th chapter, which I want to read. Luke 12 and 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide his inheritance with me. That's selfishness, isn't it? But our Lord said, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Then he follows it with a thought, of course, there, of a warning. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Well, I thought that's what it was. I thought we are, remember when my brother lived in England for many years, and he comes back, and he'd had lived with the English people for some 20 years. And he says, peculiar thing, over there you're not judged by what you have, but what you are. We come back over here and it seems like everyone is judged by what you have. And you think about it, that's quite true, isn't it? Various stations in life is what you have. Just exactly it. It isn't. We're not. Life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he followed that, like many times our Lord did, with a parable of the man that had a good farm, and he raised crops and filled his barn. And, well, now that's good. But that isn't enough. My farm is so good, I'm going to get more land and build more barns and hoard up more things so I can, what did he say, so I can, the 19th verse, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. How many of us have kind of looked forward to the time when I could just relax, eat, drink, and be merry? But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Then, following that,
We think of a text that Job gave us, how insecure the things are, this world. Job says in 121, naked came I into this world, and naked I'm going out. A truth that Job knew, and he passed it on to us. Then there's the thought of the parable of the sower. Maybe our Lord explaining about the seed that fell in the thorns. It was choked. And in Matthew 13:22, it refers, he said, to the seed among the thorns is the word of God that is choked on account of the care of this world. I thought it was cares. But I looked it up again and it's care, singular. Well, that's different than the worries and cares of the world that we all are liable to have if we don't watch out. But it's a care. It means something else. It means a desire for something. It fell among the thorns, and seeing these things, we desire. We have a care and enjoy those things. It's deceitful, he said. The care of this world and something else is deceitful. He said riches are deceitful, and these things choke the word, choke the seed. So it doesn't bring forth. No, that's right. So, generally speaking, riches are very deceiving, and it seldom brings the anticipated joys. Well, Brother, is it wrong to have these things? Would you say now offhand, well now, we mustn't accumulate anything because it's wrong. We should live in a very modest place. We should drive an old car and all these things. Well, it doesn't exactly say that. We know there are many treasures of this earth. I think of one thing. It isn't just our home. Every one of you have something, and I have something in common. It's life, isn't it? The most wonderful thing, a treasure, that we have life. What if I wasn't born? I've thought of that many times. But here I am. I have, you are. You're here. Life. If you were never born, why, you don't have the joy of experiences and a hope of the blessings of the Lord. And we have, many of us have health, we have a home, we have family, and all of these things are really treasures that we have. But there's a key to the use of these things. How are we going to use them? There's a lesson there, whether we're going to use them selfishly or whether they'll be used for somebody else. There's a nice thought I like to bring in here is remember when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, of course he generally had quite a lot of people with him, and then there were some people meeting from the city come out to meet him. And among that group coming to meet him was a man, a tax collector, quite a wealthy man. It seemed like they have a way in those days of collecting taxes. They must have put aside a little bit for themselves. But his name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little man, and he couldn't see above the crowd, so he climbed up into a sycamore tree, and the Lord saw him up there. Remember what the Lord said to him? Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, because I'm coming to your house today. Now, to me, that is a very sweet expression of our Lord. Do you know anybody well enough so you can call him up on the phone and say, you know, wife and I are coming over to dinner tonight? Well, no, that'd be just expecting it quite a lot. But if you know them well enough, if they're really your friends, that'll be perfectly all right. Wouldn't it be all right for one of you if some of your brethren call up and say, I'm coming over to your house tonight? My good, I'm glad you think enough of me that you'll do that. The Lord saw a character, saw something in Zacchaeus. Well, what did it do to him? That's good too. When he came down and had a chance to talk to the Lord, he said, Master, I'm going to give half what I own to the poor. Apparently, that's the first thing he said. Why, what a voluntary spirit of generosity that was. Shows what he valued his treasure. I'm going to give half of it right away. And not only that, but if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to pay them back fourfold. That is a use of treasure of this world. I believe it would benefit the character of Zacchaeus also. Well, this text of ours about treasure says that there's something that is harmful to treasures. He said it's moth and rust. We looked up in Webster's dictionary. Of course, you know when you look up something in a dictionary, sometimes you have your answer before you look it up and you hope you'll find the right answer. Well, it isn't always that. We many times look there for really information, and this I did. Moth, he says in there, is anything which gradually and silently eats, consumes, or wastes any other thing. And to add to that, do the moths work on your rug out in the middle of the room? No, they don't. Where do the moths work if they work on your rug? Back under the furniture where you don't get the sweeper onto it, where it's hidden. Moth will work where something is hidden. Rust, to impair by time and by inactivity and by neglect. Rust. It rapidly takes the value away from machinery, doesn't it? If you leave it alone and don't have it covered with grease, hidden, protected, why, your machinery will soon be worthless. Think especially machinery like I'd imagine familiar to Brother Stewart would be putting press or something. If it wasn't greased continually, the bearings would go out. Then moth and rust illustrates agencies that are continually at work to steal from us while we're not noticing it, or maybe while we're not using our treasure. It's taken away silently through inactivity or lack of use. And that's what's going on around us today. Even in the present good things of this world, they'll be taken away from us. We don't actively use them. They're going on around us. Well, here's an interesting scripture here in Hebrews, the first chapter and the 10th verse. Like this, what if we do have something valuable? Where is there something valuable? And can it be protected, or how can we carry it through? Well, it says here, Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, say our present society, the heavens are the works of thy hands, the powers of spiritual control, the present setup we have. Oh, he says, they shall perish. Well, but thou remainest. Thou, Lord, remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be in chains, but thou art the same. Thy year shall not fail. That's our glorified Lord. Thou wilt not change. There is an agency, a depository, as it were, that can be carried through forever. Well, now we're getting at it. All right, if we can think of a savings account or a bank in heaven, our Lord in glory, if we can deposit something with our Lord, that'll be saved for us. Anything we have here is going to be taken away, we lose it. But there is an agency that will keep everything we have, our treasures, in safekeeping for us, if we can get them there. Well, then, how do you say, well, how do I lay things up there? Thinking of our Lord in glory, our hope is in Him, and so on. How can we get things there, realizing that this world is passing away, all of these things are going? Realizing too that everything that we have here is subject to decay, moth and rust, and seeing about us dying, suffering, that hopes are shattered. My, think of back, and if you remembered back, some of you, to 1929 or 30, when so many of those that had wealth, they lost them overnight in that depression, and they killed themselves. They couldn't take it. It was heartbreaking. And if that's where our hopes, our treasures are set on those things, we'll be heartbroken, of course. But if we can have them on deposit somewhere where they cannot be taken away by depression, then we can have hope of carrying something away with us. No, we want our hopes on those things that are not transitory. It can't be swept away in a night. Well, how can we lay up treasures then that moth and rust cannot destroy? Let's look at Matthew, the 13th chapter, and let the Lord tell us there. In the 13th chapter, He had given us the parable of the sowing and what happens to the seed and so on. And then as you run down here, say to the 44th verse, that's beautiful. And just one verse gives you a little complete spur the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, that's Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. You know the answer, you know the interpretation of that. Jesus bought the field. And in the field was the treasure. What did Jesus pay for the field? All that he had. Perfect human life. That's all that he owned. He had no houses, lands, treasure, excepting his own perfect human life. And he gave that. And he bought the field, and it belongs to him. But in that field was a treasure. You and me, dear brother. This gospel age has been the time of calling out the jewel class. So there's just to compact a little story of the kingdom. Well, now following that, and another one here, coming down to the 51st verse, Jesus saith unto them that were listening, have you understood all of these things? They said unto him, yes, Lord, we understand them. Well, that's good. Then he said in the 52nd verse, and this 52nd verse, I like to think of that as a key verse in treasures and how we can use them for advantage. He said unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. If you understand this, do you understand it? All right, you understand it. We do understand it. The Lord is like saying to you, do you understand this? Yes, Lord, we understand it. Then he said, you are like a scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven. Well, what's a scribe? Seemed like a scribe in the old days, in Jesus' first advent, they were lined up with the hypocrites, the Pharisees, scribes. Well, it did me good to look back to the early history of scribes. They were instructed in the law of Israel. They kept writing them and passing them on to the next generation. They were used to tell and read this to the people, read the law, instruct the people. They were scribes that were instructed in the law of the Lord back there. So let's look at one. 1 Chronicles 4:9, just for instance. 1 Chronicles 4:9. Jabez. Jabez was a scribe, and Jabez offered a prayer to the Lord, which if we are a proper scribe, and if we offered a prayer like that, I would say that we are in line for the Lord using us as a scribe. 1 Chronicles 4:10, Jabez called on the God of Israel. He said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, that thou wouldst enlarge my coast. Coast there is our border, our influence, not just my little home and my family, but my influence. Enlarge my coast, my influence, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. That to me is an instance of a scribe that was properly instructed in the law of the Lord, and his prayer was that he might be used properly. Then, that's the case back there, what about you and me? We're a scribe, instructed in the kingdom of heaven. What do we do then? Well, he said, if you are a scribe, properly instructed in the kingdom of heaven, you are like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Whoa, now wait a minute, we just talked about a man that was a householder, he had a lot of goods, and he built barns, and he hoarded them for himself. What's this saying? Then you will be like a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. If you're a proper scribe, be blessed of the Lord. It doesn't bring them in to me, but it's bringing them out for others. To me, that is worth a lot. Then we'll, what would you say that means? Well, a householder is one that has rulership over goods, possessions, treasures, we might say. Then, whatever we have of life, of health, of our home, our family, our possessions, if we are properly instructed in the kingdom of heaven,
That'll be the knowledge of God's divine plan of the ages. We will use our life, our health, our home, our family, our possessions, whatever we have, we'll endeavor to use them as servants in the use of whatever he has. Use them for the Lord's service. Carrying out our covenant by sacrifice be one way to guard setting our affections upon earthly things. Well, the householder brings out things new and old. We think of bringing out things new. There is a new way brought forth upon Jesus' resurrection when the Holy Spirit came out from the waiting ones at Pentecost. A new way was opened up for you and me back there of giving our lives in sacrifice with our Lord, of being offered with Him, suffering with Him, that we may reign with Him. And He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How much is that? And as much as you will give your life. We have given our life. We're giving our life daily as we are endeavoring to carry out our vow of consecration. We're giving our life. Then old things, of course, new and old. Old things are the lovely story that was made available to Jesus upon his, after his baptism. The scriptures were made plain to him, opened up to him, and in turn given to us through the apostles and through each one, the harmonizing of the new and the old. Well, we think of other new things. We think of something new that you and I have that wasn't given to the church at our Lord's at Pentecost. We have. The scriptures opened up as never before. The divine plan of the ages given to us through that servant, our brother Russell, in the volumes. That is a treasure. And it's how we're going to use that. Are we going to bring it out, bring these things out, new and old? I know we don't have to tell you, dear brethren, about that, because you might put some of the rest of us to shame with what you are doing. We're so happy to know about these things. Well, some brother might say, well, you know, that's all right for you, that you're talented, you can tell about these things, but just wait till I get into the kingdom, though. I'll be able to really tell about it. I know the Lord wants us to practice now. If we are practicing of bringing these things out, of telling the truth, then our labors will end at our death, but our works will continue to follow. Now, any time we can assist our brethren, our neighbors, even our enemies, in some way to bring comfort to them, we are laying up treasure in heaven. Well, now just stop right here and say, here is heaven, you think of heaven up there, we're laying up treasures. Well, how are we doing that? Dear brethren, we're doing that as we are forming a character. What's that? What do you mean by character? A new mind, new creation. We're instructed. What, in this earthly mind, the kingdom of heaven? No, we're instructed in the kingdom of heaven in our new relationship as a son of God, a begotten son of God. We have a new mind which is going to be given a new body later on, and that is what's going to be carried out. Carried, it's going to be deposited in the heavenly treasure house. It's this new mind. Our Heavenly Father is watching over you and me, and He's protecting that new mind and assisting us in growing more like our Lord and Master daily. And the more we can do these things, the more we're going to cultivate the mind of our Lord, and that is the treasure that we can lay up in heaven. Well, what are some of those things? What do we think of? We think of them as the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, the Apostle Paul mentions some of them. This new mind, whenever we triumph in overcoming the flesh, any of these things, and cultivate more the Spirit of the Lord, we are cultivating some of these. He mentions them as cultivating of love. So much involved in love. We have joy, don't we? Does the new mind have joy, the new creature? We do have joy, the world knows little about. We have peace, the peace of God which passeth all human understanding. Are we cultivating long-suffering? Some of you have cultivated long-suffering. Maybe you've had a sick one in your family. Or maybe you're some of the brethren that you have had the privilege of going to their bedside and being with them a lot. And you suffer with them.
You are long-suffering. You are gentle. You've learned gentleness. And you have learned to be good, goodness. You have a quality of faith. We have faith, dear brethren, that we want increased daily. Lord, increase my faith. A faith that will accept and take whatever experiences of life that may come to us and grow thereby. And we have meekness. What's meekness? Well, I think of meekness as a spirit that will listen to instruction. Oh, I hope we all have that. I hope I have it. I hope you have it. Can always be ready to accept and hear instruction. We need it continually clear to our dying day. Temperance, self-control, how we need those things. These are the fruits of the Spirit, which are preserved for us in our character. I'd like to read just a little here from the 1910 reprints, page 72, not in the reprints, but in the early, I guess probably be January, February. Anyway, it's 1910, page 72. Earthly things are not to be the treasures of their souls, but merely their servants. Conveniences, always ready for use, for every emergency, freely, wholeheartedly. He who follows this course will rarely have large earthly wealth. Only by making wealth a treasure and setting upon it inordinate desire can one become miserly or very rich. Well, that could apply to everything we have, not only just bank account. We have something many times more valuable than a bank account. Our time, our talents, our influence. Those are things that are ours that we can use. These are good earthly things too. Talented brethren are asked by the world to do things too. We realize that everything that is pure, holy, and good is acceptable as a heavenly treasure. And we think of many other treasures that are being preserved for us. You think of the called and chosen, faithful little flock class. The chief treasure would be their personal love and friendship of our Heavenly Father and Jesus our Lord. Because it said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. We know our Lord. We know him by what he did. Well, he was like the Father. He said, I don't say anything of myself. Whatever I said, whatever I'm telling you, my Father in heaven told me to say it that way. I'm just his mouthpiece. And we love him for it. And we hope, dear brethren, that these, whatever we have in treasure, whatever we have cultivated, a likeness of our Lord, can they be taken away from us? They are on, say, well, that's a safety deposit. They can be drawn out by us. We can draw them away, but nothing else can. Apostle Paul makes that clear in Romans, the 8th chapter. How does he say that? 35, 8 and 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I think we could say, who shall separate us from the heavenly things that are given to us? These are things that are protected by our Lord in glory, unless we draw back. As one scripture said, the Apostle Paul, I believe it said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Well, that's pretty short, isn't it? But in other words, you were doing fine for quite a while, but then all at once you begin to draw back. My soul, he said, will have no pleasure in those that draw back. If we draw back, the bank account in heaven will be lost to us. But who will separate us? And then the Apostle Paul he begins to name them over. Why, he said, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through our efforts? No, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How emphatic. The apostle gives that to us. And I like also he said that these are given us by our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, that protection comes that way, the protection of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Well, as we think of laying up treasures in heaven, they're not, we can't put them there. We read that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. In other words, every gift is from our Heavenly Father, is given to us, and in turn, He's preserving it for His future use throughout all eternity. Because as we are faithful in our vows of consecration, and upon our resurrection, and upon given this glorious divine nature, our Heavenly Father says, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to living and dwelling with you throughout all eternity. And how careful He is going to be with you and me and in our in this treasure that He has in this new mind. Well, we were told to ask for these things. Jesus said in Luke 11:9, we're to ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. No, we're told to, as we ask for these things, we desire them, and also that we can think on them. As we think on them, we grow, don't we? And as we are more in harmony, we're told to pray constantly. We're to keep in close contact with our Heavenly Father always. Every little trial of life, even though how minute it may be, we are looking to Him, asking for a prayer for help, bringing our praises to Him continually. And we realize as we're going through these things, as we're daily trying to lay up these treasures in heaven, our faith is on trial. The trials of our faith, Apostle Peter says, are more precious than gold. Because gold, he says, perishes. More precious than gold that perishes. Well, we think of a lot of these promises. They are promises, and if we recount them over and think on them, they are going to assist in that laying up of these treasures. For instance, we read, thine eyes, our spiritual eyesight, will see the King in His beauty. And we read how ye shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. There is our Heavenly Father speaking about you and me. And then we have a promise in Revelation, I will give thee to eat of the hidden manna, or the mystery that's been covered until now. I'll give you the hidden manna. I will give thee a white stone, a precious token of love, and in the stone a new name written. The promise is for us, the name of our bridegroom, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. And I think of the experiences of our Lord. He went through experiences that we are not asked to go through. The Father's face was taken from Him, but our Lord says, lo, I am with you always. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So in that we have that promise that our Lord will be with us and He's protecting us. And we have the promise that ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Our Heavenly Father saw in each one of us some characteristic that He could use in that heavenly home. Then he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, the divine, the highest life there is, a crown of life. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. No one realize that along with those treasures we have the promises that are so much more than we could even ask or think. Then we also realize that there are many little acts of kindness that we may do daily, that they are laying up treasures in heaven, because as we do that from a heart, wanting to do that, a willing heart, we're cultivating more the character of our Lord. Acts of kindness done to some of the Lord's own and done because they are the Lord's. These are beautiful treasures too. And they are often costly treasures because we don't know always the cost to you, to one of our brethren, of what they are doing for the Lord's people. Then the very special treasures would be the sweet friendships which we have cultivated here in this life. They would be carried over for us. When we're reunited under the glorious conditions, they will surely blossom into enduring fellowship in the kingdom. So we can just say, what a heritage awaits the faithful. And we can estimate these things with the eye of faith, because we know so much. The Lord has given us an eye that permits us to look beyond this life to them. And we realize it's only a short period. Well, our whole lifetime spent in the service. Some of the Lord's people we know today have been serving Him for over 50 years. But to eternity, how long is that? So as the hymn says, let us touch lightly the things of this earth, esteeming them only of trifling worth. Of course, we realize not to be worthy to be compared to glory that is to be revealed in us if we prove faithful. So if we could repeat again our text, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust will corrupt, and where thieves will not break through nor steal. Very grateful, dear brethren, for this privilege of being with you. It's one of those joys we have of short acquaintanceship, but we're looking forward to the great joy and privilege of seeing all of you in the heavenly kingdom. May the Lord bless you with these words.
Thank you, Brother Leland.
Thumb, 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 th